If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
I got a bad feeling about this.
This is Jeff Bell.
This is Jake Weiniger.
This is Forrest Shaw.
This is J.C. Carter.
I am Eric Effington.
And this is The Left Show.
It's a trap!
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jeff Bell, and I wanted to personally welcome you again to The Left Show. This week, our second beta pre-launch episode, I am joined in the world headquarters of the Defenestrate Media Network studio by J.C. Carter and Eric Effington, with Forrest Shaw producing. Now, my ultimate goal for The Left Show is to provide week after week an interesting and entertaining these guys kind of analysis of news, culture, sci-fi, literature, theater, film, the whole American experience, until we take over the world and become bigger than the Beatles, or Hootie and the Blowfish, or Bob the fish guy down the street who has his own podcast, whatever. John, Jake, Forrest, and Eric, and myself will be mixing it up every week and doing our best to keep things as peppy and fresh as an organic Twinkie. This week, your intrepid heroes set forth to solve the problems facing America's economy again, the GOP nomination for president, being blinded by science, and how everyone in the room wants to be in a relationship with Neil Patrick Harris, regardless of their orientation. Enjoy!
Here they come!
This is The Left Show!
May the force be with us!
Thomas Dolby is releasing a new album.
Oh yeah?
After 20 years, first studio album in 20 years. Any comments, criticisms? Anybody ready for She Blinded Me with Science Part 2?
I am looking forward to it, personally.
Are you?
As a child of the 80s, I think She Blinded Me with Science Part 2 would be... Yeah, it'd be groovy.
I thought he was dead.
Well, he probably was when you were born.
Wasn't he the guy who created stereo sound?
Hey, welcome to The Left Show. My name's Jeff Bell. Joining me in studio, Eric Effington from PrideInUtah.com.
Bonjour.
Howdy. And John J.C. Carter from, what's your current website?
BackstageUtah.com.
BackstageUtah.com. And also rejoining us this weekend, just for shits and giggles, is Forrest, since this is all his stuff. And then you say hello.
Oh, hello.
It's good to hear from you.
Yay for the roadies.
So this week, kind of a fun week for Democrats on messaging for the ones that did it right. We had crazy Uncle Orrin Hatch, who popped up on the floor of the Senate and decided to open his yap and appeal once again to the Tea Party illiterate, the baggers of the right, the screaming 5% that is destroying the grand old party, and say that, you know, poor people ought to be paying to get us out of the debt that the rich people got us into. And until poor people pay off, we won't see an economic recovery from the rich folks that took all their money offshore, destroyed Wall Street,
took jobs offshore,
and basically sold most of our industry off to the communist country of China.
Yes.
Yeah, until poor people cough up, we can't tax anybody. The jet tax is immoral, because if you tax people with jets, how will they fly to their private islands where they're hoarding their American dollars?
Poor people pay up.
Well, the problem is they're not carrying their fair share. Rich people have obviously worked a lot harder. They've been able to get themselves further ahead in life. Poor people are lazy assholes who sit on the couch.
Yeah, because there's nothing harder working than a trust fund baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm right.
My dad owns.
Yeah, no shit. It's the, you know, I understand that once upon a time back in the, mid-early 1800s, that the robber barons did a lot of work killing Chinese people to build railroads, and that money that sits in bank accounts earning high yield, that's important to protect. You can't tax that to a rate, 2% higher than it is currently?
Oh, no. If you tax that, that just takes away the American dream right there.
Here's one of the places that the Democrats are driving me nuts with their poor messaging right now. And it comes down to just a few years ago,
10 short years ago, we had a president that left office after 2 years of scandal with a surplus, with a pretty reasonable tax rate, and we were in really good economic shape. And before, when the Republicans were ruining our economy, it seemed that they were blaming the war because they wouldn't put their budgets, they wouldn't put the war cost onto the budget that was getting passed by Congress. They were always passing it with sneaky supplementals and stuff like that. So we have a blueprint. We have a marginal tax rate for the top 10% that is barely higher than it is now, and yet will pay us down, pay off our debt. We can keep feeding poor children, which I don't seem to find a moral problem with. Yeah. But the Tea Party wackadoos do.
Well, poor children need to just go get a job. That's what the Tea Party says, right?
Right, except we have economists that are basically saying you have all of these companies showing record profits that are refusing to hire new people.
Right.
And there's always a good excuse for it. There was the, well, Wall Street is in flux because we destroyed that. And you know, the unemployment rate's too high because we destroyed that too. And nobody's got insurance. And so, yeah, it's all about insurance. And now, suddenly, it's about whether or not that tax rate bumps up to where these people were still making record profits 10 years ago. They just were making whirlwind blood money.
Right.
Kinds of profits.
It's not like the oil companies suddenly declaring they had record profits after raising gas prices by $2 a gallon.
What they did make all the difference.
Yeah, yeah. But what they've done in the last few years
is
over the last stack of quarters, you know, business quarters, you've seen the top five most profitable worldwide businesses are oil companies. You know, BP is still making record profits and they're still dragging their feet on paying off the Gulf Coast families.
Right.
For what they screwed up. And so, I mean, how do you find, I guess, would be my justification when you have a right wing that is so intent on social policy? You know, they want to take away everything from everybody. They talk about individual freedoms and then they squash those they don't agree with. And they talk about being, and I don't want to take it to too big a church level because I don't think that's fair. Because I don't think they understand. I think that they are ignorant and stupid when it comes to religion. But they'll take Jesus and they'll throw him out in front of any violent action they take, any picking on the poor and needy, special needs. Even here in Utah, where every Republican in office will claim to be besties with Jesus, we still have a disabilities waiting list that has people not getting just essential needs and services, sometimes up to 4 or 6 years.
Because Jesus was all about that, you know. He wanted you to turn your back on the poor and turn your back on, you know, the needy and everything. Yeah, that was in the New Testament, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yeah.
Didn't the good Samaritan didn't he like kick the dude in the face when he found him in the dirt?
That's
remember,
right.
He was not a part of the church though. He was from some outside crazy group.
He was a liberal Samaritan.
Jesus was making fun of him.
That's
as
right.
Opposed
yes.
to using
you
him as an
example.
You are
not reading the Bible correctly.
Okay.
But see, remember, the Republicans have two simple fixes to get the economy on track. A, we've got to get rid of Medicare, because that's just, you know, again,
sick
with
people going to the doctor?
Again with the lazy people.
That's
should just go get a job. Yeah.
Yeah.
And second,
yeah.
Let's get rid of the, what is it, the, not unemployment. How am I thinking of? Minimum wage.
Oh, the pesky minimum wage.
Got to get rid of that because if there
annoying
is no
minimum wage,
you know what?
We can hire everybody for a dollar and we won't have any more unemployment. It'll be great.
Everybody can work 4 jobs a day, somehow managing time travel. Now that segues a little bit into one of the other topics I wanted to kind of cover today, and that was how batshit crazy is Michelle Bachmann and why is she going to win the GOP nomination?
She's not.
I think she is.
No, I don't think she is.
No, there's only one man in the entire country who has a chance of winning the GOP nomination right now, and that's Rick Perry.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I'm serious. He's the only one with a chance. You know they're letting Romney parade around front right now because they want him to feel like he had a decent shot.
It's his turn, you know.
It is.
Whatever.
Yeah, he had to back out for McCain, so now it's his
yeah.
turn.
So they've pushed him out front, you know, push him out front early on in the campaign, let him have his run, be like, mm-hmm. Hey, you had all the coverage. Well, I don't know what happened. And then they can sink him at the end.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because that has worked for the Republicans in the past.
Yeah.
You know, with Bush, McCain was the front runner, and then they sort of got him out. Mm-hmm. They told him, you know what, John, it'll be your turn next time. And
well, that after, you know, several months of character assassination.
Exactly.
And Karl Rove push polling and other nasty little tidbits of GOP campaigning.
Well, and then Romney was ahead, and then all of a sudden he backs out. He just pulled out, and I'm like, what dirt did they dig up on old Mitt?
I think what happened was is that Mitt hit his limit on his ATM card.
Yeah.
And he couldn't donate tens of millions to his campaign anymore.
Because
it
limit.
Seemed rather abrupt. 20 million, I think. What he ended up dumping, like, I think it was somewhere around 20 million into his own campaign.
It's like 18.5.
Yeah.
So he's had a good 4 years to.
I'm pretty sure the ATM machine runs out of cash.
I keep talking to people who say, no, it's going to be Mitt. It's going to be Mitt. No, the simple fact is that he's Mormon. And I'm this sucks. And the Republican parties are idiots for this, but none of those Southern Christians are going to ever vote for a Mormon.
Now, you had earlier our local paper, and I'm trying not to play too much to local right now, but the Deseret News, which is the LDS Church's newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Are they back to every day of the week, or are they still 3 days a week?
I think it's every day.
Okay.
So it's every day.
It may be. Joe Cannon really did a good job on trying to kill that paper.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the only thing you can do is have enough of a soul to make Rupert Murdoch shut your paper down when you get caught stealing the voicemails and erasing the voicemails on the phone of a kidnapped child's family.
Yes.
So, and I don't think we're going to swing over that direction, but, you know, it's the Deseret News is all Mitt's got a shot because for some reason Mitt suddenly turned into a son of Utah. He's not. He's from friggin' Michigan.
He'd been here once.
Yeah,
he came out here. He came out here and he was the hero. He showed himself to be the hero for Utah because he saved the
2002 Olympics.
Yeah, saved the Olympics.
Look, I'm going to lay this out, and this is my interpretation of what he did. He came out here and he didn't take bribes, and he followed the blueprint that the people who took bribes already had laid out.
Right.
Because when I did some work, some subcontracting work when the Olympics were here in town, and we ran into Mitt three or four times, and if there weren't reporters around, he was an absolute shit to blue collar folks that were working. He was demanding, he was diva-ish, he was rude.
Right.
And then the minute a reporter was in the room, he was all glad handing, which to me shows the guy has at least two personalities. You know, one's liberal and can run in Massachusetts, and one's what he shows everybody else when he's somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's more. And you look at a guy like Huntsman. Now, I'm not Huntsman's biggest fan, but when you look at the stack of crazies that the GOP is putting together, Huntsman seems terribly reasonable. He's like, hey, you know what? This global climate change thing, it might mean something. And even if it doesn't, we get a better, healthier place to live.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Why is that crazy talk for Republicans?
He's the most moderate candidate they've got running right now. Michelle Bachmann, on the other hand, so the Tea Party comes in and they want batshit crazy, plain and simple, batshit crazy.
They got it. they've got three batshit crazy lined up from
well,
Bachmann
I'll tell you,
to
when
Palenti
she said
to
that,
mix.
Yeah, when she said that she and Sarah Palin weren't going to mud wrestle, I pretty much quit paying attention to the
two of them.
Yeah, I went there. Yeah, I did.
That's cool.
So
hetero.
Yeah, I am a ridiculous breeder.
Hang on, I'm still enjoying that visual in my head.
don't worry, the next Nalen Palin segment, I'm sure
So yeah, you look at Bachmann, and she'll say, okay, what was there was a phrase somebody used the other day that really impressed, talk show radio rules. It doesn't have to be true, it's opinion.
Right.
They can state it as fact. They can lay it out as fact. They can pretend it's as true as they want. But then they always fall back to, hey, we're not a news show. We're not.
Not intended to be a factual statement.
No, not at
all. Did you see, you watched the clip of Jon Stewart on Fox when he did the interview on Fox?
Yes.
And they kept coming after him saying, well, you always say you're just a comedian. You're just an entertainer. We shouldn't take you seriously. But that's the same shit that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all these other fuckers have used for the last how many years? I mean, they've always fallen back on that. It used to be if you backed Rush Limbaugh into a corner, he would turn around and say, well, I'm just an entertainer. I shouldn't be taken seriously.
But now he's the grand one-eyed
Poopa
of the GOP Klux Klan.
Right.
He's the guy in charge, whether he wants to admit it or not. They're all terrified of him. And look, okay, EIB's got some impressive numbers. You know, we're sitting here on our second beta week.
Right.
We managed. I think it was 1,170 downloads on the podcast. And about 1,000 more than that on the streaming.
That's 1,169 more than I thought would happen.
What a dick!
You know, the beta, you know.
Well, it is. Wow.
Okay, here's my question for everybody, though, before we get off Bachman, because I really want to stick with her, and I want to get into Marcus.
I'm sorry, did you say you wanted to sleep with her?
Is that what you said?
That's not exactly what I said.
It sounded like it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You want to sleep with Bachman? What?
I think I'm just going to leave now.
Let's move on.
There's nowhere to go from there. All right. Everyone saw the pledge.
So hot, even a gay man wants to sleep with her.
In a if I have a knife under my pillow kind of way.
Right. Well, that's fair.
You know she'd shiv you and steal your wallet and then tell you Jesus made her do it.
I don't think I'm her kind of person either.
I don't know, man.
No. I'm sorry, to be married to somebody as flaming as Marcus Bachman?
You're not gay enough.
Yeah.
That's right. You're not.
I also, I'm not a girl.
Have you seen him run?
Oh, my God. I've seen him dance.
Oh, man.
Seen those CNN clips of him dancing? Just.
I don't want to perpetuate a stereotype, but how he's not wearing a feather headdress running as the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade of New York City, I have no idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so did everyone see the pledge she and Pawlenty signed this week?
Yeah.
Pledge. I pledge to ban porn, which, by the way, lost her Utah's vote. Just with that.
I don't know.
Yeah, they pay their bills.
I'll ban gay marriage.
It's everybody but me.
There was some crap in there about slavery, but they pulled it out yesterday after they'd already signed
it. Like pro-slavery?
I never saw it, and it's now been deleted from everywhere.
I want a butler. Does that count?
As long as it's not me.
I'll pay him.
Oh.
Well. Okay.
Minimum wage?
What? No. Well, I'm going to wait till Bachman gets rid of minimum wage and pay the dude $1 an hour.
There you go.
You know, I'll get a tough shed out back he and his family can live in.
No.
It's the Republican way, man.
That'll be cool.
See, Marcus Bachman, though, he's about to get fined and have his clinic shut down.
Good.
Because they had, I think it was Talking Points Memo or one of those groups, they just sent in an undercover gay guy with a hidden camera into his clinic. And they set him up on reparative therapy and electroshock therapy and everything without any type of advisory statements or just so you know, all of these practices have been, if not outright banned.
Thoroughly debunked.
Thoroughly debunked and everybody, including the DSM, all says don't do this.
Right.
They're screwed. Poor little queen.
I don't.
Well, apparently the therapy worked on him.
That's right.
I don't know.
Until you see him run or dance.
He can go hang out with George Ruckers, and they'll just hire rent boys to carry their luggage.
Well, what was that weird Ted, Preacher
Haggard.
Ted Haggard, and
from
you can
Colorado.
Go hang out with Larry Craig and Mark Foley, and these guys can just have their own little personal hate group. We'll get them an island off the Bikini Atoll, and they can just sit there and hate everybody they want to as long as they want to, live in denial and take out their dissatisfaction with life on everyone who apparently isn't too chicken shit to be themselves.
Those who shout loudest.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Me either, Jeff. Although I think that secretly makes all of us Republicans. So.
Damn it. I hate when that happens. You're just sitting there enjoying your day and all of a sudden you're like, I gotta go oppress the minority group.
Screw you, taco vendor.
Yeah, I don't have time for that shit. And then there it is.
Yeah.
Well, I went to.
It's amazing what happens when you have an idle hand.
I did. I went to a funeral this week, and I'm really not going to get into that because that's a part of my family. I don't feel like dragging out into the open. But there were several relatives that would come up and glad hand and pound me on the back and talk about how excited they were when I'd finally see, you know, the smartness of joining the Republican Party. And to every single one, I said the same thing, and that's pull out the four gospels and you show me how your party platform matches anything Jesus says, and I will happily jump. Because it can't. And I have definitely studied the shit out of it before I said any crazy such thing. So, you know, and that's it. It shut every single one of them up. They're like, oh, well, poor people. So, and these are wonderful people. These are people that I love spending time with, and yet they are all have somehow attached this weird morality to Republicanism that's basically like, fuck your neighbor, screw your pal, take what you can get while you can get it. And I don't remember any of that shit in Sunday school.
There's one. There's one Bible line that I believe has become the motto of the Republican Party. Jesus helps those who help themselves.
Sure he does.
Which they have now translated to, the government will help you once you've helped yourself into becoming a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it. Bill Gates won't return my phone calls.
Pick up the pace, will you?
Dude, I'm working on it.
We're all relying on this show to make us all rich and famous.
We're all screwed to the floor.
And there's no way Neil Patrick Harris will ever pay attention to me unless this takes off.
Really? That's your goal? That's my goal.
There was a semi-truck, I think, just drove through the middle of the show there. All right.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris. He rides unicorns to breakfast.
It's not just for gays anymore.
Doogie Howser, man.
So hot, even straight men want him.
You know, I just want to be, I don't want to be Barney Stinson. He wears too many suits, but that, seriously. I
actually do want to be Barney Stinson. I enjoy wearing suits.
You look nice in a suit.
Yeah. I apologize for my appearance today. I was
like, as opposed to the do-rag. And
yeah,
I've been in the rafters only,
all day
man.
In the theater. And,
you could tell them you're wearing a tuxedo for all they'd know.
Yeah.
I have to know.
We all know Jeff's dressed like a slob, but you know.
That's me. So did the little old lady yell?
Yell
the one whose scarf you stole to wrap around your head.
Oh. See, actually, this is a buff.
I
this
can play
is like
this
the people on Survivor wear. Or war.
Wow, really raised yourself up to social consciousness there.
I should bow down to you now, man.
Yeah. Survivor?
Survivor?
I got mine from The Bachelor. I got a jock strap from The Biggest Loser.
And mine's from The Weakest Link.
That's not reality. But I miss that little redheaded lady.
I do miss that show.
Oh, what a wonderful superiority complex that lady had.
Oh,
goodbye.
Awesome.
Goodbye. She was good.
Now all I've got is that chef. Gordon Ramsay. He's got the superior complex.
I love that man. I really do.
You know what, though? He gets it. He gets to have it.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Yeah. It's better him than Guy Fieri. I can't imagine Guy Fieri going off on a toxic swear rant, you know, aside from talking about NASCAR.
All the bleach would leak out of his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You could collapse.
You could.
Awesome.
You could sterilize a whole room by pissing him off and letting his hair explode.
What was the point of the show again?
It just did. Dudes chatting in a basement.
Yeah. Right.
So,
we had to hit some kind of pop culture moment there.
We are watching, as we've covered for the moment. Well, all right, let me come back. Let's come back on Bachman, because I think that she has an outside chance. I think she has a McCain side chance.
Really?
The problem is the delegate system. And when you look at how the Republican delegate system work, and again, I'm going to go to Utah because I understand it best because I've been doing it here the longest, and that is an asshole like Senator Mike Lee, who believes in his heart of hearts that it's wrong to ban
child labor.
Yeah. And people don't go, oh, oops. They go, huh.
Saw him yesterday.
So you look at guys like him and people that listen to him, and then you've got the fake libertarians, and they are fake libertarians. I know
completely.
Real libertarians, and they look at Tea Party people and they're like, that's not my kind of crazy. You know, it's like, I understand the appeal of a guy like Ron Paul, who's gone back to conservative roots of more economic conservatism and getting the hell away from what's his name, Rich... the head of the conservative right.
Oh.
Rich Reed. You know, and those chuckleheads, the guys that basically helped Newt Gingrich take over America so that he could divorce it and let everybody else destroy it, which is, I think, where we're headed now. So you've got somebody like Bachman who is really throwing out the red meat to the delegates. You've got Mitt Romney, who is too tall, too handsome, too rich, too flip-floppy, and was governor of Massachusetts, and I don't care what party you're from. If you're a Republican, that's suspect. You've got the Southern Evangelical bloc that, even though the Deseret News says they love Mormons now, they don't love Mormons.
No, they don't.
You have Huntsman, who is savvy, who is slick, and I don't give a shit what you say. He's not running to run this year. He is running a 2 to 3 term. Everyone's going to know him. He will have a better shot 4 years from now, 8 years from now, depending on what happens. He's got a long-term plan. He's a long-term thinker.
That smile is way too Colgate for his own good.
Yeah, but look, I don't agree with his politics, but I've met him a few times. He's cool.
He is. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He played in a band. Yeah. He's rock and roll. He rides motorcycles. And that's not a persona like Mitt Romney's hunting vest and his vermin shooting. You know, this Huntsman's kind of a pint-sized tough guy.
Well, you know, when he first ran for governor back in,
'04?
Dark ages, yeah. And he was running for governor, and I remember he was running against,
Scott Matheson.
Yeah, and they wanted, City Weekly wanted to do an interview with him, and they wanted to do it at Bert's Tiki Lounge. And they wanted to do that interview with both candidates. So Huntsman shows up, orders a milk, and talks about his days in the band, when he was in a band and playing in all these kind of clubs. Matheson refused to do the interview. He didn't want it to tarnish his image.
Huh.
And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but I don't know who I want to
vote for. The Matheson family has a long time avoidance of anything other than straight media.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
and the Huntsmans don't, with the exception of Junior.
Well, yeah, but again, these are the people he knows. They're people he's used to. And that was the thing, is it's like, I don't think that he's as reasonable as he comes across, but I certainly don't think that he's as bad as the rest of them. You've got Santorum, who is the craziest son of a bitch to ever run for office anywhere. I don't care. The dude, there was an article out this week that I don't even want to bring this up. And now I've started and I can't come back from it, but there was a stillbirth in their family, which is tragic. And I feel for he and his wife for that. But then they took the baby home to introduce the dead baby. They took it home and introduced it to the kids and then spent the night with the dead baby in their bed and then moved on into funeral arrangements the next day. And what the fuck is that all about? You sleep for a night with a...
All right, I'm not going to touch that, but I do have to mention, and do me a favor, when you refer to Santorum, please use his full title of Frothy Mix Santorum please.
No. Yes. Just Google Santorum.
Google Santorum, and if you ever write about Santorum in any way, please include the Frothy Mix title so that Google results stays number one. But
yeah, just link to that.
Just drop that in over his name.
But Santorum is the subject of my favorite news story of the week. Did anyone else see him on CNN this week?
Oh, when he admitted that Obama's not doing a half bad job?
No.
Because he did one where he admitted that there's 2.5 million jobs that the Obama administration can point at and go, those are ours.
No, all right. Obama's last stimulus, when they started it, the initial estimate was that it was going to create 280,000 jobs.
Right.
This is about a year ago. Now everything has happened. The actual report has come out and said, okay, it created 240,000 jobs. Our estimate was off by 40,000. Santorum jumps on CNN and says, see, Obama has lost the country 40,000 jobs since he took office. The CNN anchor calls him on it on the spot and says, can you repeat that, please? Can you repeat how you came up with that? Well, 280,000, now it's just 240,000. They lost 40,000. Could not get past that. Could not figure it out. The CNN anchor left him with a sign-off of, just so you know, Senator, if you're going to run for president, you probably need better math.
Was that Anderson Cooper?
No, it was somebody
else had
afternoon.
Somebody else had a good zinger.
It was beautiful. It just, favorite news story.
Though. I did. I should not have just scanned past that one. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. That's good. Way to go, Ricky. Dumbass. That's simple math. And that's where we come down to Palin, who keeps saying she's not going to run, but then commissioned a documentary about herself and how brave she is, apparently, for quitting almost every job she's ever had to do something that pays better.
And cried during it.
Oh, my God. You know.
Driving around in the bus with her name on it.
When you take a step back and Bill Clinton is the most demonized president in the last 40 years. I think that Obama will be demonized more, but on shit that never happened.
Mm-hmm. bottom line, he's black, okay? That's all it has to do.
No racism involved. It's a coincidence that these Tea Party asshats showed up talking about the deficit after 8 years of record-breaking deficit expansion at the hands of Republicans.
All we care about is your politics, see?
Well, and I thought when they first popped up with that, you know, the whole deficit, I thought, okay, finally, here are all these Republicans who during the last presidential race when Obama was running, they were saying, well, I don't want to vote Republican because all those fuckers got us into this, and I don't want to vote for any of them, so I'm probably going to vote Democrat. And then this Tea Party thing started, and I thought, okay, so that must be all these guys who were pissed off.
Yeah.
But then Fox News grabbed that and twisted it and put it back on Obama. And now all the Tea Party's, you know, anti-Obama, and it brought in all the races.
Well, television is the great opiate for the masses.
It is a true opiate for the masses. It's even more than religion. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like basically you've got what, three other news stations, cable news stations. Bless you. You got three other news stations that split up everybody else watching the news, and then all the fucking right wing rackadoos all run to one. Mm-hmm. Of course, their ratings are going to be better. But now you've got. You've got MSNBC trying to program in the opposite direction. Well, we'll go super liberal. And that's cool because it got Maddow on the air.
Yeah.
And I like the way she did. And Lawrence McDonald, when he's not losing his Vulcan mind, is actually pretty reasonable as well. He hates Mormons, and I don't get it. He hates Mormons for weird stuff that happened 30, 40 years ago that we've already corrected, apologized for, and moved forward on. He hates them. He hates him. Every time we talk about Romney, he gets this little tick. He's like, those Mormons hated black people. And it's like,
Meadows Massacre.
Like
Meadows Massacre.
Like the South still does, Lawrence. Sorry, brother.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got that. And then you've got CNN, which is like, you know what? Fine. We'll just do what the Fox News does then. We're a little saner. But, you know, they got that Erickson guy, mm-hmm. who is one of the most odious and offensive people in media. And instead of just ignoring him, lambasting him, or doing stories about what a douche he is, they hired him on, and now he's on like his fourth apology for saying something just totally insane. And you know, what's his name? Sanchez loses his job, but Erickson gets to stay on.
Yeah.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of Sanchez. I mean, the guy was an idiot. It just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Jon Stewart, that disgusting Jew, is racist against the Hispanics. It's like, oh, you just idiot.
Don't get it.
But you still have to watch it because they can hologram people in.
I know.
And you can't not watch that.
Yeah, Lucasfilms did that in 1977, 10 times better than we did with modern technology on CNN now.
No shit.
Holy crap. So, okay, we're the Fourth Estate has basically just thrown off any of its constitutionally protected responsibilities. I totally believe that. There's a few that still do, but they're the ones that are in the opinion column. You know, you read any newspaper that's dying right now, chances are it's owned by one of these one percenters that doesn't want its taxes raised. You know, Dean Singleton runs the Trib. Everybody calls the Trib this disgusting left-wing, you know, liberal paper, but the truth is Dean Singleton runs it. And when in 2004, when he basically endorsed every Republican running for office, that was him as owner of multiple papers telling his editorial staff to go screw themselves and putting his own words on. And that was in 2004. We're years past that with less regulation than we had before. And I see nothing on television. I hear very little on the radio. And you know, I think the biggest problem that the Republicans have with NPR is that when you add NPR's listeners to the rating scheme of who's got what, if I remember the numbers right, this is about a month ago, it's like 3 to 4 times the number nationwide than Fox News pulls in.
Yeah.
Really?
It's huge. It's where Fox News is pulling in a couple of million viewers and you know, somewhere around a million for the other ones. 13 million people listen to NPR Drive Time in the morning. You know, of course they want to defund that. They're talking about the menstrual cycles of wheat and once in a while saying a nice thing about a Democrat. I mean, it's like, NPR threatening. Wait, don't tell me is really not buying all that many elections. I'm sorry.
And I, you know, and having been an NPR listener for a short time, I would listen to, you know, I'd listen in the morning and then you'd be too lazy in the evening to tune the station. So sure. Now you're listening to All Things Considered or right. Or the business one that they do. And
I like the Kai Ryssdal.
As yeah. The world turns.
He's the only business anything that I can sit and listen to without he's entertaining. He's not trying to scare the shit out of me about money and the mm-hmm. stock market. He's all, hey, it's Kai Ryssdal. We're going to talk about money. And I'm not going to go, you know. I dig that, dude. It's the only business radio really anything. Yeah. Clark Howard, if I'm sitting on the remote or something, I guess, on the weekends.
Who are those guys who came out of the American, what was that?
This American Life.
This American Life. There were a bunch of guys who came out of This American Life, and they fund them to do an all business, well, not necessarily business, but just financial report and deficit and everything like that. I don't remember what they're called, but Planet Money.
I've never heard it.
It's actually not too bad.
I don't leave the house, and I don't have a radio in my office, so.
Well, you can podcast it.
Okay.
Just like you can podcast this show.
Check pretty much the only way you can get this show. Hey, if you aren't listening to this somewhere else, remember, theleftshow.com.
Up in the right-hand corner, there's a little donate link. Please keep us on the air.
Hey, are we going to do that? Podcast. Of course we're going to do that. Hey, uh-huh. We got to pay for bandwidth. That that 1,500-some-odd downloads last week, that costs money.
It does.
But we're not doing a pledge drive right now.
Did we just jump from 1,100 to 1,500?
Well, there was 1,100 downloaded, and then the streaming was almost 2,000, so that adds on top.
Yeah. So I was one.
I streamed it.
You certainly
and I donated.
Were. Yeah, Eric donated.
That's right.
That's why he's here this week.
I own $5 of this show.
You own $10 of this show.
Did I get that much?
You did.
I want a refund.
I donated $5.
You did?
I did.
I should check that email more often. That's $15. See? We're almost to the million now.
That's right. I'm so close.
Once you guys donate it, I'll give you some back.
NPH, I'm on my way.
Once you donate it, you'll give us some back? It's just
hey,
like
that's
the
something.
Party.
Is do you think that Neil Patrick, and I'm sorry, maybe this is too soon, you think he's going to marry his partner?
Yeah. Didn't they already?
I don't know. The last text I saw was, just because I am gay doesn't mean I have to get gay married. But yeah. I thought he proposed.
I'm pretty sure they're already married. They have a kid.
Well, they have a kid.
Just
but
the cutest damn baby ever, by the way, if you ever see it.
No, there's been a lot of talk about getting married lately, so I don't think
I don't think they were married.
Maybe
I don't think
they were married. I'm sorry. I just look at him and drool. I don't actually follow along. I don't know the celebrity birthdays, you know.
Well, that comes down to I'm one of those that wants to be him. Not be in him.
Can I do both?
I don't. You'd have to ask him. I'm not his press agent.
Neil, I bet I could.
I would have to say as his press agent, not till you're more famous.
Just give me a chance. I bet I can make it work.
three chances. Four. Give me a weekend. I think his husband will be just fine with that, Eric, to take you on a test drive for a weekend.
His husband's hot, too.
Oh, well, maybe you could be the butler.
Okay. I will be the shoe shiner. I don't care.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I feel a little bit of my angry edge at Comcast kind of bleed off a little every time NPH pops up to shtup for them. It's like, oh, my monthly bill's not that bad.
Maybe
it's paying
it's okay.
him to be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I just want to date him because he would take me to all these great Broadway shows. And that's,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
That would be the end of that. That would be fine for me.
You sit here. I've got to go get in a costume.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Okay, Daddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you. My what, extreme heterosexuality, because we all know I just sit here and watch porn all day, but was really challenged when at the Tonys with Hugh Jackman and Neil Patrick Harris doing their thing. I'm just like, wow. Wow. That's pretty awesome right there.
I do appreciate you swinging the show over to my side of things, by the way.
We're going to take it right back in a minute, but
I
thought I'd have for a minute.
I appreciate it.
We do. We follow the flow where the flow goes.
I'm sorry. And for
I got some punch
who watches Glee, and by the way, I don't. I watched it for the first season, then I got bored. But
they take away your membership card if you don't watch Glee?
I don't care. Don't care. I'm not a Utah County gay. But, you know, I hit a couple episodes here and there, but when Neil Patrick Harris's episode,
which is beautiful.
Comes in, sings, what is it, Aerosmith's Sing With Me. Epic.
Oh my God, Utah County gay. I can't go laughing. Oh, when John and I were in school down there together, when you were five, I think you said.
Yeah, I think that was it.
That's God, not my old. Fault, you're 70.
No, it's not. But when John and I were in school down there, we knew some of those.
We knew a lot of those.
And boy, yeah. Were they rude to the out-of-the-closet ones.
So you knew BYU students is what you're saying.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you
or future BYU students.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
I mean, being involved, we were, you know, both being involved in theater. It was just, yeah, every, you know, you'd talk to these guys and it's like, all right, wait, you're telling me you're not gay?
And yeah.
Then, oh, no. Oh,
no.
That'll get you to hell.
I have gay friends who will come in from out of state here to Utah. And the first thing they tell me when they step off the plane is, how do you know if somebody is gay here? And I say, what do you mean? They were like, you come to L.A., you know, this person's straight, this person's gay. You come here, everyone is clean-cut, well-dressed, likes musicals and ballroom dancing. How the hell do you know?
Okay. So I had
fault. I like musicals.
I had an actress. She told me the foolproof way to know. But it's, I think only the women can figure it out.
There's a terrible punchliner five stuck
in. Yeah. But anyway, she said, okay, here's the deal. If they look at your boobs, they're straight. If they don't, they're gay. Because in theater, you can never really tell.
That's false.
Yeah. Oh, you look at boobs?
I look at boobs all the time. They fascinate me.
I don't want to run off on a rant here, but I'm going to have to go in with boobs are fantastic, and I believe they're cross-cultural.
Yeah.
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 I mean, you know, we look at, Jeff and I look at boobs in a very different way.
Exactly, and the women know that.
But
and
we still,
they tell
but
who
we still
they can
look,
tell. Yeah.
And we both have ideas of wouldn't it be fun to play with them.
I don't. Damn it. I do. So. Look, I'm really not trying to make any of a case pro-religion or not, because that's not why I'm here. But God created them, and look upon the beauty of God's creation. Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? Because I'm following that one as though it were. Damn it. Some things, like Animal Farm, some things are prettier than others.
Yes.
Well, that's why I'm sitting on the opposite end of the table from you, Jeff.
It's true. It's because you're handsy and, it, you know.
Not exactly where I was going there. But
yeah, but I took it.
But have fun, Belushi.
Yeah.
I will. Belushi. Jim?
Belushi.
Or John?
John.
Okay,
that's
I'll take
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
I may be fat, but I'm talented. Jim Belushi is not.
But he neither of those.
But he does an awesome little dance shirtless.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, like you haven't seen that movie.
I've seen it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But that was a funny scene.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't that funny.
Do you guys just both me at the same time?
Yeah, it's nice. More, there's some trauma involved there.
Yeah.
Something flashbacks to scout camp. I'm not sure. And I went there. So that happened. So we are sitting.
So Bachman.
Nationally. Now we're done with Bachman. I'm sick of talking about that crazy broad.
Right.
I think right now that the dark horse is either Bachman getting in on the wackadoo. See what you did? Now we're talking about Bachman again. Damn it. And this is why I think she's got a shot. Is she so nutty that you just can't shut up about her,
yeah.
And that might push her through. So I think that delegates acting wackadoo like their left wings or their right wings want to puts her in. I think if they have a crisis of conscience right before they vote for their nomination or we start seeing those on the primaries, you're going to see Huntsman with a pretty good dark horse chance just because I can see that swinging to extremes. Huntsman's so rational and calm, and yet, you know, Bachman's giving them exactly what they want. The screw in the mix is probably Palin, who Republicans want less because she's not as crazy as Bachman. And when you're not as crazy as Bachman and you're Sarah Palin, there ought to be a mud wrestle. Oh, I see what she's doing. It's part of her campaign strategy. But yeah, and
no,
so
see, you're highlighting your own point that you were going to get to earlier before I took us off on Neil Patrick Harris. But
true.
You were talking about the problem with the delegate system in the Republican Party. And that's why Huntsman can't get that, because none of the crazy-ass Republican delegates will get anywhere near a moderate like Huntsman.
Yeah, but they all voted for a moderate like McCain over guys that fit their flavor bill last time much better.
But you know the climate is a lot different than it was.
Well, that's true. And it was just starting there, especially after, you know, Obama took his primary.
Yeah, we have gone about that. So much further batshit crazy since 2008.
True, but you are watching a percentage decline. The problem really comes back to the point about the Fourth Estate not taking care of its, and I'm going to keep saying it like this, their constitutionally protected responsibility to not be dipshits.
Lazy dipshits.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, let's see, a real story where we have to talk about policy and money and this and that and the other important things, or crazy fucking right-wing jack-off. Let's go with that because it's easy and he'll just give us all our own quotes.
Well, research is hard. I just want to collect a paycheck.
I got to tell you, LexisNexis and the fact that most newsrooms won't pay for it anymore because it was ridiculously expensive, I did better research and quicker research on LexisNexis than I do just with an open internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wikipedia is too easy and it's too hard to source. And so therefore, yeah, going and talking to a crazy is simple. And they're the loudest. And that's the thing. It's going to really depend on how many non-crazies that went toward McCain 4 years ago maintained their delegate spots in their areas, you know, in their states. I mean, that's what it's going to be. Are they all insane or is that just press hype? Because if they are all insane, we're looking at somebody like Bachman or Perry. I don't know, man. Perry actually... It, for the long run of the country, scares me more.
I agree.
Because I think that a Congress and the Senate can step away from Bachman, you know, with Herbert Humphrey was once a president. So I'm just saying, wacko can happen. But then you get a guy like Perry who just comes across all Johnny American tough guy. I mean, this is an asshole that talked about seceding from the Union and still has a shot at president. Fuck you, Texas. You heard me. And it's just, you know, this is the guy that will strap a person with Down syndrome to an electric chair. He's an asshole. So is Bush, and he was president.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, Rick Perry, man, you remember the Dead Zone? Walken's Dead Zone or Anthony Michael Hall's Dead Zone?
I was thinking more of Anthony Michael Hall's.
Well, yeah, but still, it's...
With...
Rick Perry is the senator running for president
he's
his future.
He's the Dave Ogden Steers character,
right.
Basically, yeah.
The flash forward to Armageddon and D.C. being on fire. That's Rick Perry. You know, all I see with Bachman is Jesus coming back and punching her in the mouth. I didn't say that! Pop! Because seriously, Jesus threw, according to biblical accounts, one temper tantrum.
Yeah.
One temper tantrum. And that was for excessive...
moneying.
Well, it was for greed. It was
flat out.
Well,
they were charging, too high an interest rate or too hard the percentage rate to change money to give at the temple?
No, yeah. wasn't
basically,
just
he was mad
at
banks.
They were selling stuff or changing money in the temple?
But they were charging... It was usury.
Yeah, it was
they
usury.
Were charging
it was
a too
usury.
High a percentage.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's been a while since I read the Bible.
You're fine, brother. You're fine.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Y'all come back now. I found Jesus. He was behind the couch.
Under the seat cushion.
Creepy. But yeah, basically, he threw a temper tantrum at bankers. You know? Do you really think he's supporting the GOP agenda right now, sitting up there? No. I think that he's sitting there painting his target list. He's not doing it. He doesn't care.
Goldman Sachs is
He's throwing his hands up. He's like, wow, you guys are nuts.
You know, I did all this.
I died for this? Are you kidding me?
I went down. I told him to drink some wine, be groovy, and look what happened.
Love one another. Jesus.
Pinko.
Not one love one another, just at the country club.
Pinko lefty commie.
We're That's in the us. Stalls of the restroom.
Oh. Boom.
Shut up. I don't care if my stance is wide.
Oh, man. Just take that in for a second. Here you are on national television. National television. Gay or not, would you rather say, I'm gay? Or, I poop with my feet wide apart? Because I got to tell you, I don't want to talk about my poop stance on national television. And this guy is so in the closet, he did. Mm-hmm. That's actually, that goes past laughable to being kind of sad for his wife. Because she's not the one, you know, hitting on a police officer in a men's bathroom in a Minneapolis airport. And we're back to Minnesota. Full circle the last time. Let me tell you about Minnesota State Parks, gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to.
Thank you.
But, you know, have you ever... never mind.
No, drop it.
Nature Center.
Put it down.
Okay. Sorry, Minnesota. We'll get to you next week.
God.
So we are looking at a crisis. Let's change direction one more time. Or a crisis, a terrible crisis, not only for the United States, but the entire world. And I'm not talking about Thomas Dolby's new album. Boom!
Still not sure what the hell.
Dropping
the
one-liners. I don't know. I'm actually interested to hear what it is, because, you know, it's, I am really sick of She Blinded Me with Science being stuck on any show about technology ever. Sick of it. It's the theme song none of us want.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we have coming up
the internet
August 2nd, I believe, is the date, where you have two guys who are politically on different teams. You have, what is it, Geithner and Reich. You know, everybody's favorite pocket-sized economist. he is.
Pull him up into a little ball.
He's 3.5 feet tall. I love the dude. but, you know, and they're both saying the same thing. Hey, quit it, Republican Party. Stop it. You've got to raise it. George Bush raised it every year. Jim Matheson had a tizzy fit every year because George Bush kept raising it. Mm-hmm. We take a long, hard look at the budget, and the only thing that we see different, the reason we see, it, and this is just, you know, based on reading and study and not an opinion, sorry.
Crazy words right there.
Right, is the honest billing of both of our wars, now 2.5 wars, the honest billing of putting that into the budget. So our deficit has always been much higher than we've admitted it. Now you have a guy like Obama who's like, we're just going to be straight up honest. Here's the cost of these wars. I'm slapping it into the budget. That's part of it. We still have to pay for it. We may not like it. We may not like that it's taking longer than we were promised. But you know what we have now? Now we have honest math. And all that honest math did was give Republicans this beautiful opening shot against the current administration to beat the hell out of them. And all it would take is a handful of popular Democrats. Dean has been honest about it, but he's basically losing visibility because they kicked Dean out and put in Kane, who's nothing more than a waggling eyebrow and a bad speech. Now we've got Debbie Wasserman Schultz taking over. Where the hell did her fire go? She was on fire for the first week, and now she's like, well, I'm also a congressman, so I've got to get back to work. Because she didn't resign her seat. Right?
No,
she didn't resign her seat.
Okay, no. I think that is a huge mistake. I think that if you have to worry about re-election, you should not be running the voice of the National Party.
She's trying to run the DNC while at the same time raise $10,000 a week to keep herself re-elected.
And how the hell well has that worked for the DCCC and the DSCC, the Senate and congressional fundraising things, having active office holders run their messaging systems? You know, it's...
Let me think.
Poorly.
No, hang on.
I'm thinking.
I'll think of a good idea.
But still,
somewhere.
You know, it comes down to with the Democrats that there is no messaging, at least no central messaging. The GOP has that power. They can put out the talking points and everybody follows it. You can watch Fox News from, and I hope you don't, you could watch Fox News from morning to night and you could count, you could pick up the Republican talking points for that morning that were sent out, and you can watch your Fox News broadcast, and with the exception, I think, one show, they will hit those talking points every single time.
Yeah.
They will hit them. They will find a way to mix them into the show. It's like in pirate radio, where they said, you know, you got to come up with this word, and you got to put this word into your broadcast, you know, it's something like fellatio or something, and they had to figure out how to get it into the broadcast. The same thing goes on with Fox News. The Democrats don't do that. No. They're a disorganized party.
Well, look, and that's just going to, yes, we are a disorganized party. We all try and have our own messaging, and that works when there's a central plan. We don't have a central plan.
Exactly.
With Dean, we had, and I know there were some people that heard this last week, and I'm just going to keep beating this drum because I want to see us go back to the 50-state model where we're not blowing tens of millions of dollars in 15 states trying to take back marginal majorities, where we are instead in every single state messaging, talking, getting everybody on a coherent page. It may not be the same message. It may be toned down some places and stronger in others, but at least we're saying the same thing, and we continue to back that up, unlike the other party, with factual math as opposed to wacky math, because the Republicans have invented their own fucking math that makes absolutely no sense except on a bumper sticker. You know, that's what we did. How did we take over in 2006? We did that with Dean's plan of everybody talking, everybody messaging in every single state. You build up where you don't have it. You strengthen where you do. And then because Rahm Emanuel is a dickhead coming out of the national, the DCCC, you know, he hated Dean because Dean wasn't spending money in 10 states or 12 states. He was spending it everywhere. And it worked. So they fired him. That's what happened. Will Wasserman Schultz be tough enough to go against? Rahm's not even there anymore, but a lot of his poisonous ideas still are. You know, we do back down. And we do back down because, and I'll say this again, the president does not have a solid back with Reid and Pelosi making sure that his agenda is what they're pushing. You know, it's, I think Pelosi's safe. So she should be stronger. What, I mean, how many points did she beat her opponent by this last race? It was at least 20. Sure. You know, Reid is a little bit, he's at a little bit more of a disadvantage. He's got a much tighter margin. Boot his ass out of leadership. Get somebody safe in there that can run away with messaging. Get somebody in there that can set a tone that the rest of us can mimic to whatever safe degree we can in our states. And instead, we get Reid, who's now timid, except for once in a while when he has a tizzy fit, and then he ends up sounding like some sign of a reactionary asshole, which he's not. He's a wicked smart guy, you know, but he's worried about his reelection. You got Pelosi. I don't know what the hell is up with her, but she flip-flops almost as much as Mitt Romney does on so many things. She's tough, she's tough, she's tough, and then really quietly in the middle of the night on a weekend, she rolls over and lets the Republicans have what they want.
Exactly.
And it's
I don't know if this is an Obama issue. I think, honestly, this comes down to every member of Congress, every member of the Senate, on the Democratic side. And then it comes down to all of these state parties as well as, you know what, I'm sorry, but message discipline is a phrase we need to learn. Because Obama can say whatever he wants, and if we were smart, we would all pick it up. We would all pick up everything that he says and go run with it. But we don't. That is how we work as Democrats, is we like to fight amongst ourselves,
and you
because
can,
we all have ideas.
You can turn the dial, you know, just a little bit. It's like in Utah, a pure 10 Democrat is just going to freak the shit out of people. So you dial it down to a 7. You know, we do make, there is a time for incremental. You know, I can't run with the same talking points that Ted Kennedy used to run with. You know, and
sad.
So,
yeah,
and it's sad.
I still think if you had the central talking point, you could find a way to tweak that for your audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
we did that for
that.
A couple of years.
Yeah, I agree.
And
we
then
had
it all changed.
Years, yeah.
You know, and
but
so
Bush held on to that for 6 years before people caught on that he was really fucking everything up. And he had a Congress and a Senate that would just rubber stamp everything he did. And they followed those talking points 100%. They'd go back to their constituent.
Yeah. Heil.
Throwing out your
Sieg
hand.
Heil.
A little bit
throwing, you know, it's his left hand. There you go.
He's talking about the Bush. And they did everything he said. I see nothing.
6, 7, 8, 4, 5, 2, 1.
And it's gonna happen. You know, it'll keep happening as long as they can keep that central committee, if you will, holding on to their talking points and holding on to their messaging.
I'll tell you what. We had a guy here in Utah years ago, Ed Main. He was a state senator, a really good labor guy. Mm-hmm. I did this smart-ass commercial. If I can find it, I'll throw it on the end of the podcast, but I doubt I will because the last copy I had sounded terrible. I have to pull it off a cassette. But I did this smart-ass, three versions of this smart-ass Politburo commercial where everything that happens in the Republican Party up on our Capitol Hill happens behind closed doors. And so mm-hmm. I had the Soviet theme playing, and I had Reagan on there saying, "Tear down this wall."
Nice.
If I can find it, I'll throw that on. But yeah, that he paid for that to go on 18 radio stations for a week right before our election. Mm-hmm. And that was fun, man. That was hard hitting. It was accurate. It was sarcastic and funny. I thought it was hilarious. It might not be that funny to others, but
I do miss Ed Main.
I do. Oh, he was great. But that's what it comes down to is it's like, did the Democratic Party run really any central Democrats or pretty cool messaging over the last 10 years?
No.
With the exception of 05 through 07 and not very much there? No. We do. The LDS church, I think, for Utah Democrats and other Democrats, because we're really not all that national yet. I'm going to go ahead and go local for a minute, has proven that you can change your image with positive messaging. You've got those goofy commercials, I'm a Mormon, and I do this, and
I'm a Mormon.
Basically, yeah, it's like, I'm normal, and I'm a Mormon. But it actually works. You can mock it all you want, but they're effective commercials. And the truth is it's like, what I hear members of my own family accuse me of being before turning around and telling me how nice it is to see me and, oh, we should get together more often. They're able to take that Republican messaging about what I stand for politically, insult the hell out of me and my family, and then they're still fine with me because they know me and they like me. And they know me and they like me for all of the reasons they just told me I was going to hell.
Yes.
And so what is that? That is ineffective messaging. Now, with my problem, I can't get into the cable boxes of every member of my family, no matter how hard I try. And so I need to be better at messaging with my family. But when I sit down at a family event and these folks just line up behind me waiting to have an argument, I got a hard time keeping my calm.
Well, in that situation, you're completely on the defensive. And, and I think that's been another problem with the Democrats is they've wound up having to be on the defensive this entire time that Obama's been in office because you've had the batshit crazy fuckers coming on and saying, oh, well, Obama's going to raise taxes and he's going to take away our guns. And I mean, that was right at the beginning of his.
Tax rates are at a historic low right now. And there hasn't been a single move on guns, even though we had a Democratic congresswoman shot in the head with an extended clip.
Mm-hmm.
In a gun that used to be illegal. And my point on that, as we're kind of getting towards the end, was you had a ban on these particular clips. And the reason that ban was in place, and as much as these fucking Republicans will tell you, it's because Democrats want to take away your guns. That was an armed gunman shooting into a crowd of innocent people until he had to stop and reload, at which point he was an unarmed gunman and was able to be tackled and disarmed. Okay? He could have been disarmed several bullets earlier. But everybody got their panties in a twist because it's like, oh, the Democrats are trying to take away our guns. And it's like, no, if you need more than 8 bullets to kill somebody, you're an idiot and you don't deserve to have a gun.
Exactly.
Now, that's obviously my opinion and not the Democratic Party messaging.
Going back to the I Am Mormon commercials, though, because you're right. Yeah. It is brilliant branding.
Oh, sure.
And that is the problem. All right, we've gone local, so I'm just going to stay here for a minute.
Sure.
I've been in southern Utah a lot lately over the last couple months, and you go down there and you go to some of these like county party conventions and you have some of these county officers who don't want to show up to their county convention in case there's a reporter there who might snap their picture and their boss might see it and fire them.
Yep.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
Of a lot of the places we have in our state.
Yep.
So that is exactly the brand that we've got to be pushing as Democrats is you can be all of these other things that you want to be and still be a Democrat.
Well, it comes down to, do other Democrats have your back or will they throw you under the bus the minute the neighbors point and scream? Oh, shit. What's that movie? Rowdy Roddy Piper.
They Live.
They Live. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what we have right now. Is it's like, I'm out. I fly my Democratic flag when I can. It's in here somewhere. You know, but my neighbors know who I am and what I'm about.
Is it beneath the British flag?
It's not hanging. It's folded up and shoved in the book somewhere. But yeah, I'm not afraid of what I am, even though I know that the reason I've been mostly unemployed for the last 2 years is because I'm a Democrat. And I have a certain level of notoriety. You can Google me and you can find me and you can find out that I am unapologetic about being different than the majority of the state.
Yep.
Yeah. So am I getting punished for, I don't know, exercising my freedom in America? Yes,
crazy
I
talk.
Am. Crazy
that
talk.
First Amendment right of yours?
No. That one doesn't exist. It's only the right. Second Amendment. And what's the one where they let the legislature pick your senators? 17th?
17th.
Yeah.
Oh, and the 10th.
And the 10th.
Remember, the first does exist.
States'
as long
rights.
As it's
states'
about
rights.
Porn.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But not out loud. We don't pay any attention to the fact that Utah watches and looks at more internet porn than anybody else ever.
And they pay for it. At least they're honest.
And
they
that's not
it.
Per capita. That's more.
Yeah.
It's more. Utah pays for more porn than any other state in the country, period.
Period.
And yet they're all still uptight. You would think, never mind, with that much porn that a little pressure release is going on, but apparently not.
And you drive down through Utah County and there are cessation from porn addiction billboards all the way down. We'll help you with your porn addiction.
You want to get over your porn addiction? Go down to your local bar, get a drink, and go home and get laid. You'll be over
from my single days, addiction. I remember that being so easy.
Well, in all fairness, I look a lot better than either of you, so.
I can't wait till you're 40.
Yeah, no shit.
You'd be like an orange with legs. We're going to point, we're going to laugh, we're going to make you cry.
Who cares about 40? You're what, 58 now?
I'm 38.
Really?
Yep.
What the hell happened?
It's not the years.
It's the mileage.
Right. All right, hey, we're drawn to a close. John, tell me about your show coming up.
Well, we're doing The Tempest by some guy named Shakespeare.
Do you have Helen Mirren in your Tempest?
I do not have Helen Mirren in my Tempest. I have Tony Porter playing Prospero.
A dude? In a role written for a dude?
It's amazing. And hey, our Ariel is played by my good friend J.C. Stoddard, who's also male. So that's unusual casting, because usually Ariel gets cast as a woman.
Now, you're directing this show?
No, I'm producing it.
You're producing.
The director is Beth Bruner, famous director here in Utah, theatrical... community theater director.
Yeah.
And we're having a great time. We're going to be at the Midvale Main Street Theater. We open on Friday this week, on the 15th.
Fantastic.
We're going to play Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays through the rest of this month.
How much are tickets?
$15 for adults, $12 for seniors and children.
And like a true talk show host, is there someplace online they can go for more information?
Absolutely. They can go to Around the Globe Theater, which is aroundtheglobetc.com. And that's my theater company. Or they can go to midvaletheater.com, which is the Midvale Main Street Theater.
Fantastic.
And get their tickets. And if you use the code word Ariel, this is only for listeners of the Left Woo-hoo! Show. If you use the code word Ariel, we'll give you $3 off your ticket.
Don't sing a Disney song. We can't afford that, dude. No. Stop.
Stop. Only
you
10
go,
seconds.
You go 8 notes and we're in for the whole thing.
Well, that was officially 6, I want you to know.
All right, tell us about your website.
PrideInUtah.com. Check it out, bitches. Basically, all your local, national, and world LGBT news and politics.
He said bitches, so I think he's talking to Forrest.
That's right, Forrest.
Because Forrest is sad over there not saying a word.
Well, I know I'm not a bitch.
He did sneeze once.
He did. It was glorious.
It was awesome.
It was the best recorded audio sneeze I've ever heard.
Also, because I will get so bored with stuff, I will go in and vary off of LGBT politics once in a while. But yeah, check it out. We podcast over there. Haven't in the last several months because of the campaign that I'm working on. But what are you going to do? And because I'm still working for the campaign for at least the next 6 days, if you do live in Utah, if you're a delegate, you should go to the state state party
convention.
I see
where you're going. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead there.
Exercise those rights and privileges and duties that you have committed to.
Now, unlike
and
the
vote for the guy who has the most signs.
That's smooth.
Was that good?
That's smooth. Now, there will be certain members of your Left Show team at the Utah State Democratic Party Organizing Year Convention. That's Saturday. Everything caucus meetings start at 9. Registration starts at 8:30.
8:30, right. Caucuses start at 9. Speeches are scheduled to begin at 11. They've got Governor Neil Abercrombie coming in from Hawaii. Hey, I like him.
Hey, that's a state that has universal health care.
That's right. Let's see.
And Dog the Bounty Hunter. You giveth with one hand, and then he taketh away.
They're also the one of the only states in the Union that is not majority Christian.
And they
the
also
hell are they?
Buddhist.
Kick
primarily.
Ass. Yeah.
And well, they also have Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
Oh, so where her nut farm bastards.
Is. Well, now we, again.
So, Forrest, are you, you're going to be there with me Saturday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be there. Eric will be there.
I'll be in and out.
Yeah, you're going to be working a lot. I don't think Jake, Sergeant Jake's going to show because he doesn't like early morning politics. John's 50-50, depending on how tired he is from mm-hmm. producing.
And after the conference, when you're bored with all the delegates talking, come on out to Midvale Main Street Theater and
get yourself a show.
Yeah.
Nice. The Tempest, it's one of my favorites. I didn't make it up to the Broadway to catch the one Helen Mirren was in.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be as good. It will be live as it's meant to be.
It will be better than the Helen Mirren.
There's nothing better than Helen Mirren.
Well, there's nothing better than Helen Mirren, but there's it will be better than that movie.
Helen Mirren.
See it before it goes to Pioneer. We scoop them. We're doing it first.
NPH.
And this is the 400th.
Probably.
Do you know this is the 400th anniversary of The Tempest? How many plays can you say that about? This is the 400th anniversary of The Tempest this year.
You know what? I am going to leave this show and all of us with that question. Get a hold of us over on theleftshow.com. Check us out all week. We post up some fun stuff when we remember. Like I said, this is our second week of 3 weeks of beta. Next week is our third beta show, and then we launch the following week. So visit us at theleftshow.com. Drop a donation if you want to. Look around at some of the past things we've written, some of the future things. We've got Garbage Day in the Church of Forest coming from Forrest Shaw. We've got some, right now, a lot of links to LGBT issues that I poach from Eric's website, and we'll get you a login as soon as I remember. And John's had a login for months, but he never does anything because he's just a lazy bastard. Thank you. For listening to the Left Show, gentlemen, thank you for joining me in the Defenestrate Media Group's headquarters radio station.
It's not just for gays anymore.
Oh, good Lord.
Research is hard.
It is hard. I have to assume, since we're not sitting in the same room and I can't gaze upon your beautiful and or handsome visage to gauge your reaction, that if you've made it this far, you may have found something that you like and quite possibly want to hear more of. And I'm very pleased. Thank you very much. Let me make a pitch. The voice of the sane moderate middle, let alone my more progressive liberal leanings, is basically dead in the mainstream media. If you want to hear more progressive voices, or even more rational pragmatic voices, or even the insane voices that you heard in this program, you have to be a part of making alternative media too popular to ignore. If you take a few seconds and visit www.theleftshow.com and help us cover the cost of this little experiment with a small donation, you'll be doing the right thing at a time when America needs your participation the most. And if you didn't like it, I have absolutely no idea what you're doing listening to this, but if there is something, if there is something different, if there is something alternative that you do like, try and find a way to support them as well.